Let us pray. O Lord, make us master of ourselves that we might be servants of others. Take our minds and think through them, our lips and speak through them, our lives and set them on fire. Amen. I keep a file on my computer under the heading of religious experience. And I have entered a number of accounts there that include many from the Bible, some that have been related to me by friends and parishioners over the years, and many from the biographies of great religious leaders in our Christian and in other religious traditions. My file is now over 80 pages in length. Jacob's dream in that lonely place is one of these stories. His experience there is very individual and very unique, and our temptation is to think of it as simply a primitive religious report having no relationship to us. The message of this story cannot be received and it cannot be truly evaluated if we have all of our modern blinders in place. The story is a reflection of what Karl Barth called the strange new world within the Bible. When we read it with open minds and hearts, the story and many of the biblical stories reveal a world then and now as a place of such meetings. Jacob was alone. It was night. He was afraid and just trying to get some sleep. And this shows you one of the dangers of sleeping in church. Because in a dream, he saw a ladder from the earth to the heavens with angels ascending and descending upon this ladder. And in that unlikely place and that unlikely meeting, he received a divine, life-changing message. Jacob, the wanderer, got direction for his life journey. And a footnote here, it was to be a journey, as many journeys of people are, a journey from which he made some detours. A year ago, I bought a t-shirt at Broman Thrift Store with these words on it: "Not everyone who wanders is lost." I think t-shirts are a little bit like what Yogi Berra said of luggage. His teammates used to laugh at him because of the terrible luggage that he carried when they went on trips. And he said, "Why buy good luggage? You only use it when you travel." I bought this t-shirt because I thought, I liked the thought, and later I learned that the author was J.R. Tolkien. Sometimes individuals must wander in order to find their journey way. Often this happens in adolescence and early adulthood, and sometimes later. And it can cause great anxiety to parents and families and teachers and friends. Our sons and daughters, students, friends, others, maybe ourselves, now or sometime in the past, find our journey ways in unlikely places and times. Surely, not everyone who wanders is lost. And this from T.S. Eliot: "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all our wanderings will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." And the beginning of our journey is when we come to the end of our wanderings. And there's a sermon there, but I'm not going to go there this morning. The next morning, Jacob pondered what had happened, and he exclaimed, "Surely the Lord was in this place, and I did not know it." And borrowing from a favorite musical, this place for us is probably, in all likelihood, on the street where we live. In every moment, and we don't need to go to a shrine or a cathedral or some kind of special religious place, just where we find ourselves, figuratively speaking, on the street where we live. Sometimes we fail and we miss the markers because we are on another page, too busy, too preoccupied. Sometimes we fail, often we fail, because we are not paying attention to our lives. Sometimes we miss this when the first and most important things, the love of God and the love of neighbor, are relegated to lesser places in our lives. It is not, wrote St. Augustine in his Confessions, it is not that God is not here, so often it is that we are not here. It is when we miss the signposts, when we miss the beauty of God's creation and take it for granted, when we miss the joy of friendship and all those things which are the most important things that cannot be purchased with money. The Lord is always dropping handkerchiefs, hints, signals of abiding presence. We fail meeting God on the street where we live when we look too high up and too far away. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Imagine how this relates to our inner lives. That deep within us, each of us, there is an amazing inner sanctuary of the soul, a sacred place, a divine center, an inner light, a candle to which we can always return again and again. Imagine a candle burning in your inner life. Imagine that you carry a portable altar with you wherever you go. Or this hymn line, "Holy Spirit, love divine, glow within this heart of mine." And this again, the line that from the book of Proverbs that was in our bulletin all through the month of September, "The human spirit is the candle of the Lord, illumining all our innermost parts." This is what a favorite writer of mine, Frederick Buechner, wrote in his biography, which is a story of his life journey, and he's now in his 90s. And this is a good finished summary, I believe, for our thinking about our text for today. He had a deep faith, Frederick has a deep faith, Frederick Buechner, and he is a gifted master with words. I'm going to change it just a little bit to make these the closing comments of the sermon. "There is no event so commonplace but that God is not present in it, always hidden, always leaving it for you to recognize, God or not. And all the more fascinating because of that. All the more compelling and haunting. So listen to your life. Listen to your life. See it for the fathomless mystery that it is. In the boredom and the pain of it, no less than in the excitement and gladness, touch, taste, smell your way to the holy and hidden heart of it. Because in the last analysis, all moments are key moments, and life itself is grace. Surely, Jacob reflected, the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. Amen. After a few moments of silence, Cindy is going to come and she will sing the first verse of our closing hymn, and then we will sing the other verses. This is a hymn by Charles Wesley, and it was written on, Jacob has another experience, as you're familiar, there is another experience of Jacob that is somewhat similar to the one we have heard and reflected upon this morning in Genesis chapter 32. That's what the hymn is based on. I think it is one of the most existential hymns ever written. And Charles Wesley wrote 7,000 hymns. Can you imagine that? Now, not all of them are of the utmost quality that many of them are, that have endured the time of 250 years. Let us have just a few moments of silence, and then we will sing our last hymn.